Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 664. Let's go right to the Nerdist Community Corkboard. Da-da-da. Kata Levine, Kyle Clark.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Go first. All right. Well, so I started recently volunteering at NKLA, which is part of Best Friends Animal Society.
I've been to Best Friends.
That's where she's from. Yeah.
She came from Best Friends?
Yeah. Well, she came from NKLA, which is part of them.
I went to Best Friends in Utah, in Kanab, yeah. Utah. I've been to the facility.
Sanctuary. Yeah.
And then we for one of our all-star bowling things, we donated money to there. So there's a little Nerdist plaque at Best Friends in Utah. So Love Best Friends. So this is a no-kill shelter?
Yeah, so I've been volunteering there, and I will walk dogs and play with cats and whatnot. But they're doing a huge adoption weekend event on May 2nd. And
it's both ways.
Dogs and cats.
Yeah, bark, bark.
I love all animals, you guys. I just can't choose.
Listen to it, tweet.
Anyways, so they're doing a huge adoption weekend event at the La Brea Tar Pits on May 2nd and 3rd. I missed what was said.
Katie, he just said meow meow and bark bark, and I can't stop. And do you understand? We're awful people because you're trying to tell people about this wonderful charity and the Brea Tar Pits, and all I can think about is meow meow and bark bark. I'm sorry.
It's
at the Tar Pits, in front of the Page Museum in the park there.
My work here is done. I've undermined a good cause.
So at the Page Museum. At Roar Roar.
So at the La Brea Tar Pits, March 2nd and 3rd, starts at 10 a.m., goes to 6 p.m. They're going to have a bunch of animals there to adopt. So it's Best Friends and NKLA have animals, but then they work with a bunch of other rescue organizations throughout L.A. And I went to the one last year. I just took Scout, and we walked around, and they have a bunch of venues and food trucks, and it's a lot of fun. And if you're looking to adopt an animal, they have a lot of really awesome dogs and cats at the shelter.
Is there a site that they can go
to
donate?
Yeah, they go to nkla.org. You can find out more information. If you go to nkla.org/events, it has info on this. Or if you just want to go to the shelter, it's at 1845 Pontius Avenue in West LA. And it's really, I've fallen in love with so many of the animals, and I can't take them home, obviously.
What you don't know is that Katie takes a lot of pictures of these animals, and while we're waiting for the podcast, I just get her weekly update of animals she almost adopted over the weekend.
I post the pictures on Instagram, and then a lot of them do get adopted.
What is your Instagram? You should promote that.
KT_money. It's the same as Twitter.
Yeah. KT_money.
But if you guys, it's a lot of fun.
Good for you, Katie Levine. Kyle Clark, you'd better be good after Save the Animals.
I mean, it's for sure not. Okay. But I'm super proud. That improv school that we created? Mm-hmm. When I say we, I mean you?
No, hey, listen. Hey, I would give Ptolemy Slocum
most of the credit.
Most of the credit.
I would
for
give
that.
Him up to 68% of the credit.
I would give him up to 70 million percent.
But our first original house team, who are called Pilgrim, it's the first run of graduates from the school.
Pilgrim!
Right?
That's so great.
And they are performing at the Chicago Improv Festival.
That is fantabulous.
And from what I understand, Chicago, pretty big on the improv, so it's a pretty big deal.
Chicago is just as snobby about his improv as it is about his deep dish pizza.
I'm kind of invested in our team because they're kind of like the Mighty Ducks. I feel like they're kind of scrappy, like they're in the side room.
Is Emilio Estevez on the improv team?
Yes.
That's all
Dude,
I needed to hear.
Kills it.
So good.
It's he can do an old lady voice like no one else.
Well, congratulations to Pilgrim.
Yeah,
and thank you.
April 24th and 25th at 7:30 p.m. at the Second City Donnie's Skybox Theater.
Fantastic.
And so people should go and support our scrappy young improv team, because I could not be prouder of them, because they're pretty funny. I've been to a couple of shows with there, and they're a bunch of little improv badasses.
That little side theater that they built is awesome. It's like a 50-seat theater. It's in the annex room that's connected to Meltdown.
I'll actually throw out my second plug will be for another show at our theater there.
Sure.
Have you been to Historical Roast yet?
Not yet.
Holy shit, it's the most fun thing in the world. Like, it is each month a Comedy Central roast, but with a historical figure. I was sure. Ben Franklin for one, and it's people write historical jokes.
Do they get dressed up as...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If there was a show I could ever see you really taking all of your skills to, you could kind of kill it on that show, like with your history writing jokes.
That's fucking amazing.
Oh my God, it's ridiculous.
All right, so...
Also, just to add about the school, Improv Level 1 and Sketch Level 1...
Are they opening up again?
Yeah, they're opening for registration right now if you go to Nerdist.com/school.
Nerdist.com/school and at Nerdist School on Twitter. This episode, Hostful Goodness... Getting the sister wives together again.
Can I say something that I love about this episode?
Please.
I listened to it afterwards, and it starts out with them talking about you wearing a short sleeve button up shirt.
Yes.
I saw you at Beta Test that night and had almost the same thoughts. Like, I don't think I've seen him in a button up shirt. So I'm glad everyone brought it up.
Yes. I'm glad
it looks
my
good.
Shirt
it looks good. I've just not. I've either seen
such
t-shirt
a
or long
microscope
sleeve.
To like, make me feel self conscious.
It was good. It was good. Fancy, but with the guns out.
I was against the short sleeve button down for a long time, and then I found one that I liked.
Embrace
that,
it, man.
You know, when Lydia and I went out of town, I didn't bring any. I just brought t-shirts, but we were going to the desert. So I'm like, oh, you know, if we have a nice dinner or something, I should. So I bought. I went to All Saints, and we stopped in Las Vegas, and I went to All Saints, and I run hot and cold on All Saints. Some of their stuff I'm like, amazing, and other stuff I'm like a 50-year-old goth. It does not look right on me. So I found a really great, yeah. So the stuff of theirs I love, I absolutely love.
It looked good on
and,
you.
And so that was the origin. That was that shirt's origin story.
I watched the second half of your Beta Test set, and the whole time, like, he's talking about his vacation, but I'm thinking about that shirt.
By the way, Beta Test is coming back April 27th. And then 2 weeks after again on May 11th. So that's a free show at Meltdown.
And they should make a night of it and come hang out at the open mic and say hi beforehand.
Yeah, absolutely. The open mic goes in the same time over in the Annex. So
go. We're in the main theater.
Oh, you're in the main theater
show.
Too?
Yeah.
You guys, we've displace been, you for a while.
We were displaced for two shows.
Okay.
But now we've been back.
Now you're
going
back.
Strong.
Okay, good.
4 years running.
Good, good, good. Well, well done, Kyle Clark. Well done, Katie Levine. Here's Nerds Podcast number 664. Hostful Goodness.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
I had to make sure we didn't start.
Now we're recording.
Good. Can't we have conversations together without this thing recording?
Not when there's three microphones in front of us.
Jesus Christ. All right.
And begin podcast.
We have the most formal intros for the Hostfuls.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast. I'm Matt.
I'm Chris.
And I'm...
Line.
Again.
You're...
Kyle.
Jonah. Jonah. Your name is Jonah.
Meow, 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 meow.
Thanks, bro. You're
Meowser.
Jonah.
Meowser. I like this shirt.
Oh, that's a lot more
Thank
smart
you.
Than I thought it would be. I was thinking that, too, this morning when you wore that. I just didn't want to say anything in front of people.
Well, I don't normally wear short-sleeve button-down shirts, but when we went on our vacation...
Just do it, bro.
I realized I didn't pack anything but t-shirts and long-sleeve shirts. So I went to this store called All Saints, which is
We're familiar.
It's well,
they got so many sewing machines.
Some of the stuff at All Saints, I'm like, I would never wear that. But then the stuff that I like there, I fucking love there. And so I found this shirt and bought it, and now I'm.
It's nice. It looks real sharp and also casual.
I appreciate it.
Plus, you show off the guns, bro.
You know,
you're working on them. Let them rip.
It's good.
Let them rip.
Yeah, they're better more when they're subtle. Subtle guns.
Subtle guns. Your new album.
Yeah, Subtle Guns.
It's the new fragrance by Jonah Ray.
Subtle guns for when you don't want to show someone, but they know.
But they know. But they're there.
They're there.
They're there, but they're not out. They're there. I just got
like
back
an obvious secret, subtle guns.
I just got back from
it's like some, the members of Velvet Revolver leave and form subtle guns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which would be like a third spin off. Yes.
Subtle, no, I think Subtle Guns would be if Wild Hogs formed a cover band of Velvet Revolver.
What's with the Velvet Revolver references?
I don't know. He started it.
It just sounded like Guns N' Roses related, so I then extrapolated from that and went, hey, you know what else is Guns N' Roses related, Matt Myra's brain? Velvet Revolver.
I always get Velvet Revolver and Audio Slave mixed up. I always forget.
Oh, really?
Because it's like, isn't that the thing where they have guys from similar bands, but together? It was Audio Slave is
Morello
and Chris Cornell.
Oh, right.
Is Jack White in one of them?
No, that's the Raconteurs.
Oh, Raconteurs, yeah.
Which is Jack White and what's that other guy?
Guys, stick to your own band. Stop mashing up. We can't keep track of all you guys. All hey, sharing electrons like that.
Nothing but Trevor and Wilburys around here.
Trevor.
That was a good one, though. I enjoyed it.
I listen to Tom Petty's Buried Treasure on Sirius XM all the time. That guy, I just love him so much. He did one where they were just acting like they got locked out of the studio, so they're doing an on-location one. And he's all, yeah, we're just out here, not by choice. And then you hear a guy there going, oh! He's like, all right, buddy, let's just so silly. He's such
Tom
a silly
Petty committing to a bit.
He's, yeah. He's, did I tell you I interviewed him once years ago.
You did, yeah. Okay, and then he says, but we're not wearing pants.
That was just the end. He just tagged it with,
yeah,
we're not wearing pants. Like, it was so... And he sounded like Norm MacDonald when he said it, too. It was like so out of left field.
I love Tom Petty.
Science!
Thank you.
I just got back from vacation.
Vacation.
Which was crazy.
It looks great.
I'm appreciating vacations now.
You should. It looked like a lot of fun.
It was great.
So, great pictures.
Thanks.
But you know, you went on the same vacation that Katie had been planning.
What? Yeah. What do you mean? Well, it doesn't mean you can't still do it.
No, it's old.
No, it does.
Done.
It
it's
does.
Done now, Chris.
No, you bought the last package.
My boyfriend had to. He's out of town for work for a couple months, and before we knew that he was going to be out of town, we were planning a vacation to Utah, and we were going to go to Zion National Park, then we were going to Kanab to the Best Friends Animal Society, and then Bryce Canyon.
What about Arches, bro?
Wow.
Arches is a little too far east. I was actually
Arches.
Looking at what is it called? Cedar. Oh man, I forget what it's
Petaluma?
Called.
No,
California.
Yeah. I know.
There's another one I was looking at. Like
trying to throw everything off.
Canyonlands or something like that.
We drove to. We spent the first day. We drove to Las Vegas. Stayed at the stayed at the Encore, which was very nice.
They're all right. Their wedding venue's not great.
and then ate at Sushi Sama, which was very tasty.
Uh-huh.
Then spent the next day driving, and we went through Zion National Park. And here's the thing, I am not. I'm a person, when I was younger, I had a lot of fears and phobias, and I'm happy to say I was able to get past a lot of them. So I'm weird about heights,
mm-hmm.
And it came into play two times during the
trip. Is that why you have a problem with me?
Yeah, I just don't like, you just, it's like I
burned
you walk into the room and then the pit of my stomach, I was like, it's too high! His head's gonna fall off!
That sounds like the derogatory term for like tall people. I hate heights.
Heights. These fucking heights came in.
Guys, speaking of the heights, how do you talk to an angel?
How do you talk to an angel?
What's that?
What? You don't know the Heights?
The Heights was basically, I think it might have been Aaron Spelling, but whatever it was.
Yeah, it was a 90210
spin-off. It was off the height, the off the 90210.
Yeah.
And it was a musical. It was Jamie Walters.
Yep.
And he was in a band, and they were making it happen.
And they had a hit.
They were called the Heights. Oh. And they had a hit song. And the song was bad to the extent, like, if you wrote a sketch about that kind of a 90s band.
We were like, too big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you talk to an angel?
And that's where the Heights part of the Melrose Heights 90210 blah, 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 blah. From the
Ben
Stiller
show.
Oh. That's so weird that I don't
It's Melrose Heights. That. Yeah, that's what they call it. In the
Von is a robot, yeah. You guys, you hear Von's a robot.
Batteries.
Batteries are not a robot.
Von is robot, yeah.
Von is robot, yeah. I'm just weird about heights, and I thought I could get over it. And I knew I've driven through Zion National Park before, and I know that there are some roads that go up a lot of very high places with straight drops. But you know, before I got there, I kind of did this thing where the night before like visualize the drive, and I visualize myself being like, ah, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
Some fears, I feel like your brain registers as a fear, and then years later you don't ever revisit it. So your brain just assumes like, oh, I'm always afraid of that thing.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes when you go back and you really think about it, you actually aren't necessarily still, you know, like there are some things I think you can
get rid of it.
Yeah. So we start driving up the mountain. And it turns out, no. It turns out my body, and it didn't manifest in any really crazy way, but we just got halfway up, and I looked off the side, and it is fucking stunning up there. But I just felt all my muscles start to tense up, and like I started sweating, and I'm like, I don't know. And we're kind of at the point in our, Lydia and I are at the point in our relationship where she's so fucking cool that I feel like I could say anything to her and she'd be like, I don't feel like she'd be.
You're not ashamed or embarrassed to bring anything up.
No, but I hadn't really, we hadn't gotten to the part of like, oh, these are the things that scare the shit out of me. Like I hadn't really gotten to the, like,
really? Weird. That's like a first conversation on a first date for me.
Really?
Let me lay it
Hi,
all
I'm
out.
Jonah. Here's what's wrong about me. If you're still okay with this, good for you.
Yeah, exactly.
But I was like, I couldn't sell myself, and I go, I'm actually getting, and to the point where I wasn't sure if it was safe for me to be driving because I could just feel my body locking up against my will.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was like, you know, I'm really stressed right now. And she goes, well, sweetie, pull over. So we pulled over into a shoulder, and thankfully.
How'd she calm you down?
She drove.
Yeah.
It was an automatic.
Oh yeah. Sometimes when you get going, it's just all automatic. You let nature take its course.
No, Jonah's driving.
Right. That's what you do.
What?
Yeah.
What a missed opportunity.
Get out of my dreams.
And into my car.
What is that? Is that the heights? No, being no. from earlier.
So she just took over. Then did you?
She learned how to drive on like really precarious driving conditions. Like she was like, oh, like when I was a kid, I learned.
It's one of those Hearst lessons. All right, now that we've covered mutual funds, driving in dangerous conditions.
Yeah.
Enter the rain dome.
Yeah. Well, her family.
My driver learned to drive in very precarious conditions.
No, she. Okay, now that's not.
I know I've seen
people do this.
Yeah.
No, but.
Oh, it's so weird on this side. That's the first thing she says. You're like, you're not helping.
Well, the car just has the mechanism where it will hover if you. Oh, we're in a rental. No, but I think because her family has property in different parts of the country. She learned to, and so it was no problem for her.
We were just making fun of her being a billionaire.
Yeah. All right. So,
so when she learned to drive, she learned how to stay within the lines.
Yeah.
Unlike you who had trouble.
I couldn't. Yeah. So, the second time that it happened was we stayed at this resort that was just insane, just carved into the desert.
Oh, cool.
This really amazing. There's nothing else around it.
And like the Hopi Indians?
The Hopi Indians, yes. It was on, as far as I know, in that region. But I bought hiking boots, which were... shut your fucking mouth, Katie. I bought hiking shoes for the first time, okay? I get it. I know you go on a lot of hikes, and you're real outdoorsy.
Yeah, just the way you said it. I bought hiking shoes?
Yeah.
Hiking loafers? What they're called? They're like feet gloves, right? Yeah. Feet gloves?
No, you got the separate toe hiking shoes?
Yeah. No, I didn't get those. The Vibrams, the gorilla feet, I get those. But it was honestly the most stunning terrain, and it feels like you're on another planet. We went to this place called Horseshoe Bend, which is in just outside of Page, Arizona.
I saw that picture. That's a great picture.
It's an We took a lot of amazing pictures there, and ultimately I got more comfortable with it. But when we showed up, it is a fucking like a building, like a tall building size drop off down immediately, and people were there like. There was a guy with his toddler, and the kid was like freaking out because they were so close to the edge. But the guy thought it was funny. He was like, "No, let's take the picture. Let's take it." So obviously, that kid's been ruined for the rest of his life.
That was you. You saw yourself in the past,
I guess. But it was, and then Lydia, who was totally does not have this phobia, like I would get stressed. Like she would take pictures. She'd get close to the edge. I'd be like, "Lydia, Lydia, please, please don't do that. Please, please, please." You know? And so like I felt bad because I felt like I was imposing my phobia onto her.
Yeah. They call that a party pooper, Chris.
I was being a party pooper.
Yeah. Poopy poopy.
But ultimately I was able to get a little bit more comfortable with it and
It is nuts, though, because it really is. It's like it's not like if you slip, you'll have a few chances to maybe grab onto some.
You
brush.
Immediately die.
You're done.
And,
like,
and
Volcanoes National Park on the Big Islands like that, where just crater just right.
And it's a kind of thing where there's no chance of survival, and you would know the entire time.
If you have the right Dodge Charger, as Vin Diesel showed us all this weekend, you might be okay.
Well, there's 138 million reasons why you're right.
Yeah, you can stiffen up like a board, and then, or stiffen up like a mannequin, and someone will try to catch you.
But
because hey,
and then hey, free mannequin. But I think that it's the idea that you're a second away from death, and I know that at most times that is the case. Like if you walked into traffic now, there's a good chance you get hit by a car and die. But something about the dreadful nature of that horrible, horrible type of death, and how if you just slipped. It's just one minor mistake.
Yep.
And it's over. Yeah. So I that was the other time.
That's what they say in the Chilean chefs. One minor mistake and it's over.
you're using a homophone.
God, that was a great joke.
So dumb.
That was great. The fact that that hasn't been said before, which it probably has by many dumb people, but like the fact that I hadn't heard it yet is great. Yeah, that's a really good joke.
But but all in all, it was an absolutely amazing time, and I have really come to appreciate the value of a vacation. Because I still had to do some work while I was gone, but ultimately, that's really great. I feel like I just discovered this thing.
These 12 built-off weeks we've had off for the last 2 years.
What I didn't before, I wasn't really, you know.
Yeah.
But it's really nice, you know, and she's so great.
Isn't it nice not fighting on vacation and just enjoying and relaxing?
Not being made fun of.
It's so nice. It's nice. It's nice to...
Not being called a dumb Hawaiian or a...
Wait, Joni, you seem puzzled.
Man giant or...
Hey, man, what's happening?
The things that could happen to Chris on vacation, you know.
I don't know.
You call him like a former fat kid who hasn't gotten over it yet.
Well,
that sort of applies too.
I was last weekend. I was in I went to the Madonna Inn in San Luis Obispo.
Oh yeah, I saw that. You sent a picture.
Yeah. It was for the Sean O'Connor and Aaron Magner's wedding.
Nice.
It was nice. It was very pretty. I officiated it.
You did?
Yeah.
Just like Demorge did for you?
Yeah. I am a ordained minister of the Universal Life Church.
Wait, what?
.com.
What?
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, you can just go online and you pay them like $14 and they send you a certificate.
Oh, so you didn't really earn it. You just paid for it.
Yeah, he earned it.
No, I got my calling.
For his $14.
Yeah. I heard my calling. You see, as a non-spiritual person, you don't understand.
Like, well, you were just trying to get me to hold on to this voltmeter a second ago.
Yeah, exactly. Spiritual beings.
Okay.
Such as I.
Okay, but I've never noticed this side of you before.
Wow. I was very fascinated with the way L. Ron Hubbard talks.
It was interesting to see him finally actually see.
Why would you say that? Don't put us in with them. Psychiatrist. How dare you? That's rude.
Sir, how about a toothbrush?
Yeah, but just on the bottom row. Did you watch?
I haven't seen Going Clear yet, so I didn't.
Oh,
I didn't.
Great. Chris, come
I'm
on!
I'm saying it's at King of Kong level awesomeness.
Is it really
documentary?
Because I've been catching up on. I've been watching season two of Helix, which is very, very, very fun.
People have been talking about Helix. I heard Happy Valley, which is a import on Netflix right now.
Helix, you will like because one of your favorite dudes is in it. Season
Oliver
two.
Platt?
Steven Weber.
Oh. Oh, shit.
And he's fucking great in it.
Webs, I just watched a weird movie with him in it. It's like him playing this guy. Jonathan Silverman is also in it, and Lori Loughlin is in it. And then David Koechner shows up for a little bit. But it's Steven Weber plays... It's basically Hider in the House, that old Busey movie, where he lives in the attic of this family's house. And it turns out like he like was like pushed out by the bank. And the guy who did it was living in the house now.
Oh.
And so he goes, it's a real weird and creepy, horrible movie.
He's great, though. So I've not seen Going Clear yet, but I'm sure I'll watch it.
It's great. It's great.
But you officiated this wedding. Did you do anything to prepare to officiate this wedding?
Yeah, I wrote a whole, you know.
10 minutes?
Yeah. Well, it's weird because, you know, it's a bunch of comics and you want to be, they asked me to do it because they know that I would bring some.
Guy walks into a bar, meets the girl of his dreams.
Yeah. I did, like, basically, like, what I did was I wrote a kind of a thing about how they have a dog, a chihuahua named Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And so I
dog's name is a thing.
Yeah. So like I did a whole thing about this dog being named Pizza and why would that happen? Who would allow this? There must be some kind of checks and balances, but it's like all about the fact that these two weirdos found each other and agreed to name a dog something that we could all, you know.
What did the people, and obviously it went well. People laughed.
People seemed, yeah, I had laughs and then sweet
obviously
moments,
went well.
And
they're
and,
married.
Yeah, yeah.
What if they didn't laugh? Would you like feel weird if you were officiating a wedding and you were kind of doing jokes, but then they weren't landing?
Yeah, it's weird because you just, you know, you can't let, it's not, has nothing to do with me.
Right.
It has everything to do with them. And it was weird though, because it's like you're saying stuff and you're like, you know, you feel, you want to get laughs, but it's not really about that. And I didn't write it to be, you know, a ton of laughs. I just wrote it to be sweet. So I did that. And then like they did their own vows. And then I said, by the power invested in me, by the universallifechurch.com, I now pronounce you husband and wife. That was very nice.
That's nice.
It was very nice. It was a good little trip. We stayed at the Madonna Inn, which is...
What room did you get?
Lucky Cave.
Nice.
It's got a lot of gold, green, and of course a rock wall.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like an obscure like Vin Diesel character.
Lucky Cave?
My name's Lucky Cave.
Wait, what?
He would be like an Irish...
Oh, okay, so he really
an Irish gambler. Lucky
well, that sounded
Cave.
Australian.
Yeah, I'm not good at the different other white accents.
You're just good at the white one that you
I'm
do.
Just good at the white one I have. Other yeah. ones, other white accents, no good.
What about other racial accents?
Oh, black accents?
No, don't. No!
Katie's don't already do it. Marking
no, here,
it.
Here's. It's like, hi, how are you?
Oh, that's a good Obama.
Oh, I can do Obama. Hello? I'm just Barack Obama.
Great job.
Thank you.
That's really fantastic.
It's really hard to... I mean, I'm transported to the yeah. White House.
Yeah, exactly. Sasha Malia? I could just do two or three words. Michelle?
So your character is called Nobama.
Nobama. Yep. I beg to differ.
Well, Mr. President, how do you feel about the Iran nuclear pact? it's once funny, Mr. President.
No, sir, I don't like it.
You're just doing the horse from Ren and Stimpy. That's not Obama.
A lot of people walking around like that. Something to say.
Oh, Jesus.
Nothing comes out when they move their lips. Just a bunch of gibberish.
Oh, God damn it. Let you
show. Oh, you rubbing your eyes, minor?
I'm rubbing my eyes because I hear you say that every fucking day at work because that's in the clip they play to the audience.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
At midnight. So I hear you say those words every day.
Well, isn't it nice so, to see a live performance? It's nice to see a live performance of it.
People walking around like they got something to say comes out when they move the list. There's a bunch of gibberish. Like they forgot about Dre.
50 Shades of Dre,
yeah.
Horton, here's a hoot at. It's the same clip. We've been playing it for 3 months. So I can, every joke I remember.
I didn't do that. I didn't do Horton here.
No, that was Mamrie right after you.
I remember the hashtag was hip hop
books.
Hip hop books. But the other contestants were pretty much just doing black jokes as opposed to hip hop references.
I don't know about that.
I'm trying to think of. Horton, here's a hoot at. I'm trying to think of Justin Willman's joke. Can't remember it.
Too many
jokes in my head.
Too many jokes.
I saw.
You sing that like you've never seen it.
Too many jokes. You just heard
too
people.
Many jokes. You just heard people do it.
Too many jokes.
Yeah, you know we all the viral video we all love.
Those viral videos. Charlie ate me. I'm David. I just went to the orthodontist. It's just like soft. I like it.
I saw While We're Young. New Ben Stiller movie written and directed by Noah Baumbach.
Yep.
It's great.
Really?
It's really, really, really good.
All right.
I highly recommend it.
Fine.
Now, what if The Meltdown wasn't produced by Red Hour?
I love Noah Baumbach movies. I would still recommend it.
Okay, that's all I needed to hear.
It's great. You know, it's got that Noah Baumbach kind of sweet, sad, funny stuff. Charles Grodin is in it.
Oh, shock.
You know, you don't have to promote stuff just because, you know, you're working with those people. Like,
no, I just went and saw a movie that I probably would have seen even if I didn't have a show produced by
imagine if
a
you
guy I've met once.
Watched that on a plane. I feel like you'd cry a lot.
Would you cry on a plane?
The movie I just saw?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
It would wreck
How
you.
Would Obama cry on a plane if he were watching?
Would Obama cry on a plane?
Cheering up. Not sad. Wistful. Must be pressure.
Must be pressure.
So bad.
Sasha Melia?
No, you don't just get to reference his daughters.
Michelle and the girls?
No.
There was an automobile accident.
Joe.
Man wants to forget the automobile accident. So he decides to forget the automobile accident.
Joan Bama. Joan Bama Ray.
Oh,
what'd you do on break?
Hung out.
What's that mean?
I didn't go anywhere.
Oh, Chris.
What?
Think of it this way. It's a vacation where you don't go anywhere.
I don't understand.
Yeah. This is you just enjoy the comforts of home.
Yeah, no, I stayed home, did like 5 podcasts, and... saw Furious 7.
Was it good?
It's great.
Is it really?
It's fucking great.
Everyone's saying it's the best one. I've only seen
Did Justin Lin direct it?
Yeah.
That's why it's good.
Amazing. He did the last one.
Oh, I didn't see the last one.
Last one's fucking great, too.
Why is it good? I'm asking.
Because it knows exactly what it is. It knows it's a ridiculous action movie that doesn't have to completely be plausible in reality of physics. And it just it acknowledges that. And it goes for it.
Does anyone ever say, I am both Fast and Furious?
Nope.
7.
No one says that. But they do talk a lot about family.
Uh-huh.
No friends with family. What's the line in it?
Which, I mean, that sort of line is said 45 times in both 6 and 7. It's fantastic. I think everybody should see it. I really do.
I think they did.
Yeah, a lot of people did. Made a lot of money. $143.7 million opening weekend. Guys, once you get a weekend like that.
We need to write a car movie.
You're all set. Our car movie would be terrible.
Probably. But I feel like, because we had WonderCon over the weekend, which was really, really fun. But I came back from Utah.
I heard it was real bad. They called it BlunderCon.
Why?
I didn't hear that.
No, you didn't hear that at all. we went to Disneyland because we got in a day early. Went straight to Disneyland and... I was on the Cars ride, and it occurred to me that Cars is basically Fast and Furious for like 10-year-olds.
No, there's no focus on family in that.
Sure, there is. The Cars have little families.
The Cars are a little family. No,
they are. Chris. There's a Vin Diesel engine.
Oh boy,
what?
Wait, he's the voice in it, isn't he?
No,
but
not.
I think Obama might have been in Cars.
Turn me on.
No, the Cars can start on their own. They don't need anyone to turn them on. Paul Newman's in it.
Say, turn me on. So fucking stupid. You sucker punched my funny bone. The car saying, turn me on. As Obama. So many layers.
Overheating.
I appreciate you.
Thank you, Chris.
So you watched Fast and Furious 7. Did you make any wedding plans?
Oh, it's all done.
You're done?
It's done. It's planned. I was just collecting addresses for the Save the Date, which is going out pretty soon.
Are you doing anything in Vegas the night before?
Mm-hmm.
I could come to that.
I know.
Oh, you can't go to the actual wedding?
Nope.
Matt gave me 2 dates.
I did.
I set both of them aside. And then he came back and he was like, okay, it's going to be on this 3rd date. And I'm like, I can't confirm that, but I believe that is the season premiere of Walking Dead and our show's live.
Shit.
So I was like, that is the one thing I cannot cancel.
I mean, it was a lot of juggling, and I really did try to get it around.
So your birthday, I thought, was on a Saturday.
Huh?
I thought your birthday was on a Saturday, or your wedding is on a Saturday.
No, it's on a Sunday.
It's going to be on a Sunday. So there's no, and I did hold the other 2 dates aside, and I did say, yes. I will cancel anything. I said, I'll cancel anything
that, you know, but that is the one thing I cannot cancel.
I'm not upset at all.
I know, but I feel bad.
It did kind of fuck me up a little bit when because like it was like this whole like sort of wriggle wrangle with the place that we wanted to do it at, and we wanted to have it outdoors, and they have like a cutoff of when in the calendar they can do it outdoors because of the high winds in Vegas that happen at a certain time, and like they didn't want to do it. And like, so like they had this certain cutoff here, and then it was like this thing, and then the Saturday that we wanted to do was like already booked by 1,000 fucking people, so then like it ended up, it just like, and we talked about moving it again, and then it was just impossible because we couldn't do it. We tried.
No,
I really
it's not.
Tried.
They haven't officially announced the return date of the show, but doing the math from when it was last year, it was that weekend. Yeah. So I'm just guessing. So it's possible they might
pretty much the same because it's the start of their Scream month or whatever.
Right.
So it's always around the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Are you going to do? Is there going to be a post show for Fear of the Walking Dead?
Oh, I've gotten that question a few times. I don't know, actually, is the answer.
Yeah.
They're doing the same thing they did with the original Walking Dead, which is first season is 6 episodes. Mm-hmm. There aren't any plans to do an after show for those first 6 episodes. Not having talked to them a whole lot about it, my best guess is the following. They'll probably see... They pick the season up.
Your best guess is they aired the following after.
They aired the following. They... My best guess is that they will, because they picked the show up for 2 seasons. See
Did
how
you see the pilot?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh,
I heard it's great though. I mean, like legitimately, I'm not like
are you
mind
saying that
aside.
Because Red Hour produced it?
Yes, I'm saying that because of the guy I met one time, Ben Stiller, said that. but I think if it goes well, and then maybe in season 2, there's probably a better chance it would happen then. But I don't know yet. I would do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. In a heartbeat, I would do it.
What are they going
to... Is the plan for that to air on Sundays that The Walking Dead is not on?
I believe so, yeah. Because I think they're going to... I don't know when they're going to start it, but again, if I'm guessing, it would be... I mean, it's already April. They wouldn't be able to start... I think the show's going to start in the summer, but it would probably make the most sense for them to like have it start and then run for the 6 weeks right before Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what they're going to do, but that's my guess.
Well, let's speculate more.
Okay. I think President Obama is Vin Diesel.
What would that sound like, Jonah?
I am Groot.
This is one of my favorite Jonah characters.
I read an interesting article. I forget if it was like on Slate. I forget where it was, but it was talking about how the Fast and the Furious movies owe everything to the fact that Vin Diesel is such a nerd because he only agreed to do, and they show like the dip it took when he wasn't in it because he didn't do the second one.
Oh, okay.
And he only agreed to do a cameo in the third one at the end if they gave him the rights and let him do Pitch Black because he'd love those books so much.
Oh, wow.
So when that happened, then he got to do that, and then he came back, and he just... It was just a very interesting article about the arc of Vin Diesel's nerddom and how the Fast and Furiouses have benefited from it.
Doesn't he have his D&D character name tattooed on his stomach? I heard something like that.
Yeah, I heard
about Listen,
that.
The guy's, you know, he's the real deal. He's made of diesel.
He's 100%. A diesel's a good engine.
Diesel's a very efficient engine.
Mm-hmm.
A little dirtier than some.
A little dirtier. Runs well in the cold
yeah.
temperatures.
Yeah, sure. You got to heat it up a little bit first.
So I don't know. So the answer is I don't know if I'm going to do an after show for Fear of the Walking Dead. I don't know if there's going to be. I don't know if there's going to be a Hear the Talking Dead.
Oh Jesus!
What?
That's what they call it, huh?
No, that's not what they would call it. I think they would just probably call it Talking Dead.
Oh, I guess you could do Talk that and fear. Franchise that. Yeah, and then you have all sorts of stuff on the set.
I don't know why. I don't know why they just if they were going to do it, they would just call it Talking Dead. But
yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, because it's the same show.
Basically the same universe.
Let me ask you this.
Sure, we're going to
spitball in here.
All right. Well, you're bobbing your head from side to side.
Have they ever thought about just airing The Talking Dead on its own?
How could they?
I don't know. let's just you know, it does really well.
Yeah. It aired for the first time in England on the season finale. They aired it in not just England, actually all of the United Kingdom. Uh-huh. They aired it in the UK. I really hope that happens because I want to go do stand up in England, but obviously it's difficult to sell tickets
again, not just England. I understand the UK is not just England, but if my plan would be if I had a something that would allow me to perform in, you know,
like do a tour
of the Isles.
Yeah,
that would be.
Yeah, take your time and just kind of make it a trip.
That would be amazing. But right now, I think.
You could drive from one to the next gig.
You can't drive to Ireland.
No, but like the rest, Chris.
Yes. I would take a train, Jonah. driving in the UK is scary but fun.
Yeah. Remember, because that's what Dee and I wanted to do. Our original honeymoon trip was we wanted to drive up to Scotland.
It's a little more tiring because you can't mentally... You know, like you can go on autopilot, so to speak.
Yeah, as long as you're on the highway, you can.
But you can't really tune out when you're driving over there because you always have to remember I'm on this side of the car, on this side of the road. Yeah.
I bet that's easier though. I've driven English cars in the United States, and that's awkward.
That's probably very awkward.
That's super awkward because of where your position is the driver.
Yeah,
and your instinct is you're always pushing over the lane where you. Just to put your car yourself.
Right side of the car, left side of the road. Right side of the car, left side of the road.
Yeah.
But it is weird when you see other cars start to. You automatically think, oh, they're in the wrong lane.
No,
they're getting into the right lane.
No, even when I was there, like especially when I was in Jamaica because they drive on the other side of the road there. Like even taking turns, I could never. For some reason, my brain couldn't comprehend how cars would take left turns or right turns.
Did you see the tattoo on that guy's dick? Welcome to Jamaica. Have a nice day.
I did, but it just looked like it said, oh, shit. Wendy, right? Fuck.
Pull the ripcord.
That's
bail out.
No, that's bail I was out, trying to out. Think. I was trying to think of what the joke is Wendy.
Yeah, it's Wendy and it's welcome to Jamaica. Have a nice day.
That's Wendy. A big tick.
He's got a big old
yo dog.
Big old day.
Check
yo.
Out his big old Jamaican
dick. Big old day. But a big old day.
Yeah. That's what I did on vacation.
Nice.
I didn't go anywhere for the first time in forever.
Well, I'm sorry that I'm not going to be at your Sunday wedding.
I'm also very sorry about it.
But can I come on Saturday?
It did affect me. It did affect me. I will say this more than I thought it would. I'm like okay with my siblings not being able to go if they can't go.
Yeah. No, I mean it is a weird thing. You know, we spend a lot of time with each other. We're good friends. Yeah. That's why, like you know, I was trying my best to be cool. Like when it looked like you weren't going to make my wedding. Like I was trying to be like, no, it's fine, it's okay.
Oh yeah, some shitty stand up gig and couldn't come.
I would cancel anything else. I would be able to cancel anything else. And like I said, I did the other two dates were like October. I think you said like October 3rd or the 31st. Yeah, like so, it'll either be a Halloween wedding or like early in October. Yeah. And I was like, I will not schedule anything on those days. And so when you texted me and you're like, okay, it's this date, I was like, oh no.
Because you're foolish me. I was just looking at your stand-up dates, forgetting your other jobs.
Well, I don't want you to.
Oh, it's not going anywhere, Chris. I've given them a lot of money.
What hotel is it in?
I will let you know off of the air.
Oh, come on.
Circus.
No, I've got a talking to from... young Shafrir.
Oh, yeah? About?
Things I say that maybe too much information for her liking.
Like, what's an example of too much information?
Well, guys.
Chris, you are so bad.
I was trying to get the scoop.
It's that gotcha podcasting we're famous for.
Gotcha podcasting. Gotcha!
Hey, you said it on the air, Katie, don't cut it out. Katie, don't cut it out.
So are you going to go on your honeymoon immediately after?
No, I don't think so. I think we're working.
So you get married on a Sunday and then come back to work on Monday?
Yeah, we're not working on that Monday.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I haven't seen the calendar. That's good to know, though.
We haven't been renewed yet. We might not be on the air.
Oh, that's true.
You'll be fine.
That's technically true. Yeah, we won't know that for a while.
Yeah. Just have to do those other shows. Yeah.
Diarrhea.
Cha-cha-cha. I went to the foot doctor today because my I didn't know orthotics wore out. I was like, when I got my orthotics, the guy's like, these are made out of graphite. They're going to last you a lifetime. And then, like, I was changing them into some other shoes and noticed that, like, there's a crack in it and, like, the heel's worn down. I was like, oh, maybe that's why my ankles have been hurting lately.
You know, that's interesting. I always find the certainty that I feel like no one knows anything.
Yeah.
Because the same thing happens, like, if you call customer service about something, any customer service, and then you have to call back, and then the second person you talk to, you're like, oh, I just talked to someone, and then they said this or this, and they're like, well, I don't know why they told you that.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, how hard is this? You know there's one set of rules, probably, that govern the, like, the same thing with the shoes. Like, yeah. Why would someone...
Yeah, just tell me I got to get some more.
Yeah, that's fine.
More money for you.
Yeah, seriously. You don't. They don't have to be forever things. Like, I have to buy things every once in a while.
Yeah.
Even just giving me a heads up would be great.
Just a little bit.
I had to get tires for my Volvo already. I was like, really?
What?
It's like 30, only put 30,000 miles on it. How long are tires supposed to last?
I don't know. I'm not a car guy.
Guys.
When they look
guys, this is why our Fast and the Furious movie isn't going to be any good.
Because we don't know how tires work.
How long tires supposed to last.
It's half the movie is us speculating like what kind of car to get.
I don't know, guys.
I want to go fast, but I also want to be kind of furious at the same time. Do I get this grade of tire?
Well, but no, but what if like you go as fast as you can in a car that doesn't go as fast as you wanted to, and that'll
make
you
furious. Well, I'd be furious then.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I'd be furious if that were the case.
You get both there, right?
I'm fast and furious.
Yeah.
But what if I'm furiously trying to drive fast, but there's a lot of traffic, and it's like it's like 3 o'clock, so it's not quite rush hour yet, but it's still like some people are leaving early because it's going to be a holiday weekend.
Let's just first consider that the going fast is all relative to the situation. So, say there's a lot of traffic, and you're going as fast as you can.
Right,
that still can be considered fast. It depends on the perspective.
Should we cast the situation?
I think so,
guys.
Well, as a cameo for sure, but as a starring role, I wish we could get him.
Do you see the Entourage trailer?
I've watched it like five times. I cannot wait. I was like,
are you really going to go see that?
I'm going to go see it fucking midnight showing. Gil Ozeri, who's a very funny comedian guy. He did this thing, 2.5 days of Two and a Half Men, where he stayed up for 2.5 days straight. And he had people come and watch it with him, and he live streamed the whole thing. So he's gonna gearing up to the Entourage movie. He's gonna marathon through every episode and then finish it up just in time to go see the midnight premiere showing of it.
Oh my god!
Yeah, and like he's like when I saw him, he because he knows I'm a Taj head, and so I went like it's like he's like I can't wait. I was talking to Will Weldon, and it turns out like this is a guy who's so angry all the time about everything. He's like, oh no, I've watched every fucking episode 2 times. It's a great show. And then it turns out we both had the same speculation of what we thought should have happened in the last season.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I've told you that idea, right? Where it's like, so Vinny starts kind of getting into drugs and drinking and being reckless with his life, and I'm telling everybody going, this is what's going to happen. He's going to die. Vinny Chase is going to die. And then the rest of the show is going to be about these other guys who what do they do with their lives after the central focal point of their entire world is gone. And everyone would be like, oh, they knew they were going to do this the whole time. This is the best show ever.
Yeah.
What happens when like the guy, the reason they're all there, the reason they're all hanging out.
Is that what happened?
No.
Just like every other fucking episode, it's like, Vinny, you're okay. Let's make a movie. Yeah. And then they take off.
Let's crush some puss.
Yeah.
I wanted to wreck.
I wanted that to happen so bad. I was kind of devastated. It was one of those weird things where it's like, you know, I never want to ask of anything of the art or the entertainment that I take in. I wanted it, it'll present it to me. It owes me nothing. But I felt kind of slighted when they had the opportunity to just go do something bigger.
I know, but for you to expect that from Entourage is like expecting some type of a dramatic arc in Fast and Furious. It's like
there
Entourage
is nothing but dramatic arcs in Fast and Furious.
That's very true.
That,
rest in peace, Paul.
Ow. But I hurt my knee.
Oh, ow. Sorry. I thought you meant to Paul Walker.
Oh, my heart. But I the Entourage, like I can't even watch it ironically. It's
too real.
It's too spot on.
It's too spot on. And it's about people that I hate being around in life. Like, yeah. And I'm sure that initially it probably started as like, oh, this is an ironic portrayal of this.
Yeah.
But then it flipped and it became the thing that I think it was trying to satirize.
Yeah, for sure. And
or
that's kind of the interesting
thing. Or did people become more like the thing? You know what I mean? Yeah.
Maybe a little bit, but I've lived in this city for a very long time, and that stratum is very spot on.
Oh yeah, it's so perfect.
So you're going to go see it. But you know it's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
But just
Kelsey
like
Grammer's in it.
Oh, really?
Okay, well.
Yeah, he's one of the cameos.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, sorry. I cannot wait. I cannot wait. It's going to be so fucking weird and funny and not in an I've read the script.
Oh yeah, they did the reading.
The live reading. Some guys we don't know the names of did a live reading of the script. and I got to play Johnny Drama and Ian Carmel was Turtle, and we made the thing so much longer than it already was by just riffing with those characters every time we had an interaction. And it's written like a guy in the movie would have written a movie like that, if that makes sense. It's like we cut to Eric, we cut to E, he's in bed with the most beautiful woman you've seen yet or so far. She gets up and naked walks, you know, to the bathroom, and E says, "Your ass is perfect." And then in the direction, her ass is perfect.
Oh God damn it! Fucking fuck!
Like it's like that's like the guy. It's like then, you know, she starts walking up. She's naked, right, bro? And then E goes, "You have a perfect ass." And then like, you know, because
like, she does,
because she does,
and it is.
That's why it's like one of those moments where we are. He is now the audience in the theater.
He is now the audience, and we are him.
Yeah, it's gonna be so ridiculous, and it's just a long episode.
Yeah,
nothing's bigger about it.
I haven't seen it. Fat Sal, so that'd be really cool.
Yeah,
I secretly hope it. I think it'd be really funny if it opened and it made $1,000. I think that would be fucking hilarious.
Yeah, but it won't. It'll make a ton of money.
Do you think so?
Oh, let's.
I don't think it will make a ton of money.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think people give a shit.
I don't think it will make a ton of money.
I think there was an entire subculture around Sex and the City. I think people watch Entourage because it just happened to be on. But I don't think its fan base is that loyal. I think it'll do okay.
Like, I think it'll probably,
I think it'll miss projections.
I think it'll do like,
you know what?
40, 45.
Yeah, okay. I can get behind that.
I think it'd be great if it just made like $500,000 on like 3,000 screens. Then I feel like there would be justice in the world.
Yeah.
But no. But I'm sure. I don't know what it's opening against. I don't know.
That's true. There's a lot of stuff.
I don't know what's. I don't know what's.
Nothing opened against fucking Fast and Furious.
You can't.
What are you talking about? Noah Baumbach's new movie did.
Isn't that VOD?
No. Oh. It's theaters, limited release. You gotta when movies do that, like It Follows, like, you know, or What We Do in Shadows. When small movies get into theaters, you have to do your best to go and
It Follows got expanded. Like they delayed the VOD release because it was getting such good word of mouth that it. I'm so excited. I haven't seen it, but I heard it's fucking fantastic.
Yeah, I heard it's amazing. Yeah, Tim League, the guy that runs Alamo Drafthouse, like did a whole article about it.
I saw another movie that, if you haven't seen it, is fucking fantastic, called Spring.
Oh, I don't even think I've heard of that.
It's so great. And then this guy, a guy who's a writer at Nerdist, this guy Ben Meckler, who writes for us at Nerdist, I had tweeted how I saw this movie called Spring, and it was really great. And he was like, "Oh, my friends from college made that movie."
Oh, no way.
And it's really good.
Is it on demand?
It is. Yeah. I think maybe we got it on iTunes, but it's got like 88 or 90% Rotten Tomatoes on the tomato meter. And then, but it's just a really great creature movie. Like
I say, thermometer.
Let's call the whole
thing nerd.
I give that joke a green splat, but, I don't know how to, I don't want to describe the movie too much. But it's
Furious 7 is 82% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
That's incredible.
Audience score 90.
Wow. Anyway, I recommend Spring. You should see it.
Yes, I'll watch it. It's a fun movie. Maybe tonight. What else was I thinking about?
I don't know. Malia and the Kids.
Oh, I watched
Malia and the Kids. See, I'm no good at it.
Malia, the Kids.
Bees?
Spring has an audience score of 72.
Aww. Still good.
Certified fresh.
Beats it by the critics, though. Beats the fast
85% set. Critic score, 70% user score. So good. So good.
I watched Kill Me 3 times, which is a...
Why didn't you just want to watch it once?
Sorry, the title of the movie is... I watched Kill Me 3 times once.
I'm very confused right now. So you watched it 3 times, so the whole 3-time viewing was just a one-time thing?
Third base.
So, Mr. Obama, so President Obama, Mr. President, what you're saying is you got your fingers in?
Home run.
That is a perfect ass.
It is.
Obama doing a reading of the Entourage script.
Vinny, this movie could change your life.
I wish he cameoed.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
If Obama cameoed in Entourage.
Oh, they got Warren Buffett. Why not get fucking Obama? Yeah.
But it's Simon Pegg is in the movie. I think it was made in South Africa. Is not the goodest.
Okay.
But it's a great Simon Pegg performance.
Oh, good.
So watch it for Simon Pegg's performance. And if you want to see a movie that...
A goodest is probably not the goodest use of that type of superlative.
What, you don't like it? I thought goodest, not the goodest is like nice because it's not the greatest. How come we can say not the greatest, but we
not
can't
the goodest? It's not the goodest.
Yeah.
So that's sort of a polite... That's
Somehow that seems better to me than saying not the greatest. If I said something wasn't the greatest, or if I said it's not the goodest.
Not the goodest.
Well, wouldn't you then think that the goodest thing was going to be better than the great, not the greatest?
Well, no, because I think it's also, it's in terms of the conversation where it's like, it's not the greatest, meaning like in general, but like, it's not the goodest is kind of like, no, I don't know where I was going with that.
It's almost, yeah, not the goodest. I guess
but
that
it's
is
like not done well. It's not that sure. I don't like it. It's just sure. that the movie isn't the best made movie.
Right. It's not the goodest.
Yeah, it's not the goodest. But Simon Pegg's performance is great in it. He plays a hitman. But it's a... It's
I've
like,
never seen Simon Pegg
you mean like,
be bad.
It's like a Guy Ritchie movie if Guy Ritchie...
You mean like Clive Davis, a hitman?
Slowed down.
Come on.
What?
Like Pharrell, a hitman?
Like Timbaland?
He makes hits. He
like
makes Timbaland? Hits.
Like Timbaland?
Yep.
Boy.
All right, I think
we've puttered out. Boy,
we started puttering.
We got plenty of time, guys. We got 9 minutes to fill here. Let's do it. Quick. Chris, what is the first time you ever...
Oh, boy.
Got to third base?
Yep, got to third base.
Touchdown.
First time I ever got to third base? I think I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
What a nerd.
Well, it was, don't hold up your hand to, it was with a fellow nerd girl.
Ah.
Outside, we had been playing video games, if I remember correctly, at my dad's bowling center, and romantically it was outside by the dumpster.
Were you like, hey, I got the keys to this machine. We don't need quarters.
No, because it didn't work that way.
Oh.
No, it didn't work that way. Yeah.
Why didn't it work that way?
Well, he didn't own the machines.
Oh, we had an outside vendor.
Yeah, outside vendor came in. There was a system of red quarters.
Ah.
So the quarters were marked. When the machines were emptied, they would be separated. So there was a finite number of quarters.
Uh-huh.
That each week, like, here are the red quarters, and you can use those. And
that's pretty interesting.
Nutty.
Yep. Spoiled. I was very spoiled as a. I had video games at my disposal when I was a kid.
Red quarters.
Red quarters. Boy, I feel like this episode could either be called Red Quarters or The Goodest.
Well, Red Quarters just came up and it was
a thing. It was barely a thing. It's just a thing in your life.
Well, Jonah, that's not the goodest attitude for you to have right now because.
Well, now you're just trying to cram goodest down our throats.
You guys are being the Red Quarters of this podcast.
We both know the episode has to be called Sasha Malia.
We'll get on some sort of list if we call it that.
Hey, wait. This shit's not going to be called Turn Me On.
Turn Me On.
Let's call this episode
Johnny Drama.
Oh my God! I said President
Carbama.
I said Carbama.
Oh,
no. Nope. Not a good thing at all.
Let's call this OT69.
Is that, is that an Entourage reference?
No,
it's a Phaeton.
It's your OT level.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
69, bro.
OT69. No, let's not call it that.
Well, are you scared of him?
No, I just I don't.
Well, he really chickened out today. I wrote this beautiful Scientology thing.
I did not chicken out at all.
Totally kidding.
It wasn't funny.
I actually killed it.
It really wasn't funny.
He was giving it more. He was giving it. It wasn't a joke. It wasn't a joke.
It was just a question about going clear, but there were a lot of things that we had to set up to make the challenge work, and then the challenge was a little wonky, and so it was. I was fine with the content. It was just the.
Just I didn't write it funny.
That I mean, yes, it wasn't that you didn't write it funny. It's just it's not that
it's
funny.
A lot
of
pipe to lay too for a thing that you know is just ultimately on a show where we reward puns.
I've heard you use that metaphor 3 times today. Did something happen with pipe while you were on break?
I did use it earlier today. I said that. Well, I think of, you know, I always...
Wait to use this pipe delay metaphor today.
I often use it when we're in the room and we're talking about we're having to lay a lot of pipe.
It's an ultimate pipe, bro.
Did you lay a lot of pipe?
Lay that pipe. Get to that idea.
What was super funny today was we had this thing coming up with R2-D2 is coming on the show, so we're talking about
it's
ideas.
Real friend.
And then Chris goes, oh, we should just do a thing where we like translate the beeps. And I'm like, oh, yeah. We can do like the movie clips. And like he can
what's he saying in each one of these scenes?
Yeah, and then we're all like, great. And then Jared goes...
One of our writers.
Well, I had an idea. And I was like, oh, it better be good because there's nothing better than just Chris saying something and we all go like, okay, we can do that.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, you know how California's running out of water? And we're like, yeah. And he goes... Well, like on Tatooine, they have to build moisture farms.
So what if we could rig up R2 to come out and squirt? He goes, no, actually, I didn't even say rig up. He was like, so R2 comes out, and then, like, he squirts water. And we're like, how is he squirting water? And like,
no, yeah,
well, you could just rig it with a hose. Like, where's the hose going to rig?
No, but like, and the other thing it hinged on was we didn't understand binary, so we had to bring in an R2 unit.
Jesus.
I mean, we liked where his brain was going, but just in terms of like all the production, and then Matt's like, then there was a little bit of a silence, and Matt goes, "So can we just translate the beeps?"
Not to be comedy cop here, but I have seen a video that Trevor Moore made where he was like, "Hey, did you guys see?" It's like I saw him show it at a live show. He was like, "It's like, oh yeah, the new DVD of Star Wars is out, and they put subtitles for." Chewbacca. It's crazy because like when the subtitles are there, he just kind of gives away way too much of the movie way too much early on. And then it's the whole like, is that a moon? That's no moon. No. And then like, it's like, he's like doing like, he starts to make noises and it says, no, it's a space station. There's a guy named Darth Vader there. It's this guy is Luke's dad. And then like when he was like, when Luke and Leia kiss, like he makes this noise. Where he's like, and like, it's like, it goes, dude, that's your sister.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
That's good. I don't think it steps in the same territory.
I don't think it steps in the same because
we're
going to have an R2 unit.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Because we're promoting Star Wars Celebration.
Oh, I thought you said
and
gonna,
George Lucas's permission. Yes, but R2 is going to be there presenting and giving points.
Okay.
The R2 unit.
No, I'm not sure it's fine. I mean, I don't think he ever put it out. I think
pretty great what Chris thought of.
I mean,
well, you have turned a new leaf, Matt.
Same leaf. He just doesn't want to rewrite something.
Yeah, it's funny. Matt doesn't operate that way. He's making it sound like he's doing it because he's afraid I'll get upset when in reality he just doesn't want to do the extra work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I don't want Chris to get upset. It's nothing to do with that. You just don't want to do the extra work. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
listen, I don't mind doing work. I'm a guy that'll do a shit ton of work if I have to do a shit ton of work, you know?
You're a guy who likes to build a shit.
And I'm not precious about my bullshit. Like today, I said, let's cut that thing. It's not funny, even though I wrote it.
Yeah.
He tried saving it, and I was like, no, what are we doing?
Oh, by the way, congratulations on season 2 of Meltdown.
Thank you.
You've wrapped officially?
We've wrapped.
Oh, can't wait for the fucking wrap party. When is it?
Last night.
Oh, guys!
Did you work on the show?
No.
Cast and crew only, friend.
Oh, okay. I didn't get asked to do anything on the show.
You have a job.
Yeah, so does Jordan. That's weird.
Oh, yeah.
Katie, let it roll.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why Jonah, why wouldn't they ask you to be on Meltdown?
I couldn't have been brought in that room. I feel like I've hosted the show with you guys. I know you both very well. I could have helped you come
I mean,
up
it is weird. It's like 15
stuff.
Minutes away. You
it's
can
like,
just go there right after work. They shoot it at night. You're
I don't know. I would have done it for free.
You're not
writing guys.
I don't know why.
I've done it for free.
I don't know why. Like, you saying that right now made me go, oh, yeah, that would have been a good idea.
I mean, I don't know. Jonah Mack's being a little passive aggressive about this whole thing. I mean, bringing it up on the podcast, it's weird.
It's
weird. Are you going to let him get away with it?
I let you get away with it.
I guess that's true.
I just love a party. You know me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't really thinking about it because it was just the day. It was the day after our last taping, and it was just kind of my parents were actually in town for the last night of taping.
Yeah, but back to the Matt thing. I mean, why? This is worse than me not going to your wedding because I have to work.
Hey, I think Chris is right.
Fanning the flame.
So on Saturday, my parents were driving back down from Chico. Mm-hmm. And I get a text from them saying, are we going to the show tonight? And then I responded with, haha, if you want to. Seems more like a question for you guys. There's a 7:30 and a 9:30. And then the response was, we'll see how we feel.
They baited you.
Now, let's just keep in mind that they're driving back down here and are in town for their son's television show taping, but opted to just go straight to the hotel that their son was paying for.
I love the structure of that. They're like, hey, you know, you didn't ask me if I wanted to come to your party. You want to come to my party? I don't know.
Yeah.
But you're the one who...
And then they text later on, all checked in, beautiful room, really tired, so we're just going to chill at the hotel tonight. Have a great show.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah. They came to the after party because there was...
Hey, I thought it was cast and crew only.
Yeah, so that was kind of fun.
Kind of fun.
Did they enjoy the after party?
They did.
They had a blast?
They did. Yeah, it was nice. It's nice having them around.
Oh, you know what I went to on last Saturday was the Young Literati Toast for the LA Library Foundation, which was super awesome.
Oh.
It's like Busy Phillips throws it together with Colin's wife, Colin Hanks' wife, and a bunch of other people. And it was like readings. It was great. It was a cocktail party and readings.
Colin Hanks' wife has a name. Rita Wilson.
Colin's.
Wife, oh, you said
Heather.
You said Colin's
no,
wife.
Said Colin.
And then you said Tom Hanks.
No,
he
said
Colin.
I said Colin.
Oh.
Heather.
No.
Okay.
Sorry, it sounded like three names. You're like this person and then Colin's wife and Tom Hanks' wife.
Sure.
I think he's just jabbing at you now because he feels
I'm not,
bad.
No, not at all.
I don't think he feels bad. It's totally fine.
I feel bad. I don't
know. I mean, I don't know why. I don't.
There's nothing I can do about it.
I feel like...
Well, I think you could just go set it back. I mean, that's
I don't know.
Right?
I mean, I thought I was. I thought.
Oh, have him on the show. Oh no, I don't feel bad about that.
I don't need to be on that. It was. I don't do stand up really. Come see me open for Chris May 1st at the Wilbur Theater.
It'll be the set right after the last time Matt did stand up, opening up for Chris at the last show.
When was the last time he did stand up?
At the Wilbur Theater.
No. Recording the 7-inch.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Let's start getting those together.
The Fast and Furious 7-inch?
Yeah, Fast the Furious 7-inch. Oh, fuck. I should just call it that.
Fast and Furious 7-inch?
The Furious 7-inch.
Now it's all packaged there.
I know,
series.
I'm kidding. What were we just talking about? I don't even remember.
You were just talking about...
Oh, I was annoyed at Jonah for not asking me to do the thing. I was going to say, I feel like
you
I
said
was...
the literati thing.
Oh, that was super... Yeah, that was a really good event. It was... I would go again. It was Dory's thing. She was like, go to this with me. I was like, okay. And we went, and it was a blast. They did some readings of LA-centric writings to benefit the... it's for the Los Angeles library system.
Nice.
And it was
those fat cats. They need more money.
Yeah,
it was pretty spectacular. Because they
need to bring down big library.
They did. they did one part. Jason Reitman had Jason Mantzoukas and Mae Whitman read Pacino and De Niro's dinner scene from Heat.
Oh, fun.
Which was quite a blast watching Mae Whitman meet De Niro.
That's really funny.
Oh, that sounds fun.
It was really a great evening.
That's a cool time.
Well, I love you, jerks.
All right.
Right back at you.
I'll see you tomorrow, Jonah. I don't know when I'll see you again.
When will you see me again?
When will I see you again?
Tomorrow. Don't we have a podcast
video
tomorrow?
On Thursday, and on Friday I'm going to Athens, Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
Tall John.
John Schrader's wedding.
Yeah. Are you going?
No. I'm performing in Minneapolis on Friday, and then Madison, Wisconsin on Saturday with April Richardson.
Nice.
And two shows. I think the first show in Minneapolis is sold out. There's tickets in the second one. Oh.
Why didn't you have Matt open up for you?
What?
April's more of a gooder at opener-upper.
She's the goodest.
I just thought you liked Matt's comedy.
Well, but you didn't. I mean, I didn't get a vote of confidence from you. So,
you fucker!
Jesus Christ, guys! I'm gonna have a real complex about this whole thing.
Hardwick, you've done it again.
Fanning the flames.
We're gonna do.
You didn't even ask me to open up for him in New York, which is the day after. I'm already on the East Coast. Could have gone there. Would have been a real easy train.
You know. But I'll tell you why you did. You know, because here's the thing: you can come up and do a set there if you want. Mike Lawrence had asked if he could do a couple shows, and he's already based in New York. So I said, but you, if it...
Doesn't Mike live out here now?
Did he move out here?
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
How's that make him feel?
I don't know.
That was almost the end. You can totally do the set in New York if you want.
No, it's fine. I'll just wait for season 3 of The Meltdown.
But we're doing a Marvel movie marathon with Marvel. We're doing
what
it.
Is, what are you... What?
Well, Dad...
Like a marvelous movie? What?
Was it marvelous? Over the holidays, I pitched an idea to. I had an idea. And I sent an email to Kevin Feige, and because he was also. We were both at this Back to the Future trilogy thing in 1990, but we didn't know each other yet. We're at the Cinerama Dome. They screened Back to the Future 1, Back to the Future 2, and they premiered Part 3. So if you stood in line and you got in. You'd watch one and two, and then they premiered three before anyone else nice. Could see it. And so he was also at that, because Back to the Future is one of his favorite movies, too. And I emailed him out of the blue over the Christmas holidays. I said, hey, what if you did the same thing with Marvel movies? You showed them all in sequence, and then you premiered Age of Ultron for people who were willing to, like super fans who were willing to wait in line.
Nice.
And he wrote back, and he was like, that sounds super fun. And so we're doing it. So April 20th and 21st, it starts at like 6:30 p.m. Starting with Iron Man. It's 11 movies. It's a 28-hour movie marathon at El Capitan.
Holy
and,
shit!
And so there's like snacks and prizes and contests, and like each movie will be introduced, and you know we're seeing if there's who's in town. Maybe that's maybe
that's
like
crazy.
Cast members and stuff of anyone, and then yeah, and then Ultron, and then you'll get to see Ultron before anyone else.
The only one you can get is Ed Norton.
That'd be rad.
That's nuts.
Yeah, so
it's long. It's like
it's a 28-hour marathon.
Be able to like watch all those movies. And
well, they
then,
just did the Fast 7. They did the same thing for Fast 7.
That's
they,
7 movies, though.
That's true.
That's like 11 movies. We're gonna be exhausted.
They are, but it's one of those things like the old Death Ray shows.
Yeah.
Where if you...
The Death Ray shows never went 28 hours.
But you know going into it, like, this is what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And if you stay for all 11 movies, there's this special laminate, and if your laminate gets punched for every movie that you see. And if you stay for all 11, then you're entered into a drawing to get tickets to the Ant-Man premiere.
Oh, fine.
So I really feel like...
No, it's a cool, great idea. I was just like, I would be exhausted.
I'll tell you what, if I didn't have a job, I'd be there.
Well, I hope you guys have a wonderful week.
You too.
And let's not talk to each other when the mics get cut off, because then it's
weird. You mean like usual?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just want to make sure that you don't get comfortable.
No. We don't talk to each other. I mean, like, that's the... I think the... greatest trick we've ever pulled is convincing people we actually like each other.
Oh, they never thought that you guys liked me.
Vintage Myra.
Yep.
He put on sunglasses when he said that. It was real cool.
Oh, wait, the mics are still on. Oh, you guys are the best. Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, it's so good.
Okay, turn that off. Fucking turn that off.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Gen Z high school girls have gone through a lot. So what could and did send a shockwave through a group of 50 of them competing in one of the nation's biggest scholarship competitions? I'm your host, Shimo Liai, and I'm going to take you behind the scenes of the Distinguished Young Women Competition. I was Nevada's competitor 20 years ago, but this time, a Supreme Court decision catapults all 50 girls into the center of a nationwide debate about their rights. These girls, who have spent months fighting to make it to nationals, are faced with a tough decision. Do they speak up for their political beliefs, or do they stay focused on winning the money?
I think it's going to get ugly.
Follow the competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of the competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.